Yep. I'm just waiting for, I'm just waiting for council to get involved.
We got three, let's go.
No, this council.
Acquired within.
Just tell them to be quiet and move on.
180 days.
Hit your gavel.
Or land application shall be sent or something. Acquired within 180 days from the date of this.
I know it's one in here. I pulled my little sticky thing off and then. Okay, that's all right, Dave. Yeah, we're getting paid, you know, no big deal. Good afternoon. Let's get started. We run our public hearings. It's a little bit different than what planning and zoning does. So I'll let Mr. Griffith, our lawyer, explain how the session's going to go. Mr. Griffith?
Good afternoon. We have, let's see, 5 public hearings today. When council conducts public hearings on zoning ordinances, they're legislative-type hearings. Council uses the information that they obtain during these hearings to decide whether or not to adopt amendments to the Sussex County zoning map to show that the change has been made. What will happen after each application is announced, Mr. Abbott from the Planning and Zoning Office will tell us what happened at the date of the commission hearing on your application. After that, we will then give the applicant a chance to come forward and tell council why you filed the application and why you believe it should be approved. If there's anybody in opposition, they would be given a chance to say what they believe or to state their opposition to the ordinance. After the applicant and anybody who might be opposing it had been heard, if planning and zoning took action one way or the other, then council can also take action. If county council, if planning and zoning commission deferred, then the council will also defer because we have to receive their recommendation before council takes action. Does anyone have any questions about the procedure? If you're an applicant, when you come forward, state your name and your address so we'll be able to identify later who was making what comments. Thank you. Mr. Abbott.
This is the first application. This changes zoning number 1655. It's the application of Chad A. and Tammy and Matthew Mitchell to amend the comprehensive zoning map from a GR general residential to an AR1 agricultural residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100 Sussex County, land lying east of Road 376, 100 feet south of Road 380 and south of Road 392, 2,200 feet east of Road 376 to be located on 86.83 acres, more or less. I passed down a copy of the tax map. The application stated that the intent of this application is to downzone the property so that the applicants may apply for inclusion into an ag preservation district. The commission received comments from the county engineering department. The applicants were present and stated that they will be applying for inclusion into an ag preservation district. There were no parties present in support of or in opposition to this application. Mr. Miss stated that he moves that the commission recommend approval for change of zone 1655 for a change of zone from GR general residential to AR1 agricultural residential based upon the record and for the following reasons. One, the purpose of this change of zone is to allow the applicants to seek approval as an ag preservation district. Two, the property is currently tilled and forested, which is consistent with the proposed AR1 zoning. Three, the county should promote the preservation of active farmland through the use of ag preservation districts, and the applicant should be commended for their efforts. There was a motion and a second, and it was carried unanimously to forward this application to the council with the recommendation that it be approved for the reasons stated, and that motion carried 5-0. On March the 4th, we received comments from the Sussex Conservation District. The soils on this site are Berryland, Hamilton, Hurlock, Pledge, and Mullica. With respect to erosion and sedimentation control during any construction, applicants should be required to follow recommended erosion and sediment control practices and to maintain vegetation after completion of any construction.
And do you prepare this?
There's no storm flood hazard area affected. It would not be necessary for any off-site or on-site drainage improvements. And they advised that a tax ditch is affected, but they didn't state what tax ditch that is. And that's all we received. I'll have, unless you have any questions.
No, Jim?
Is the applicant present? If you'd like to come forward, Mr. Mitchell, and explain the application.
We didn't charge them.
Oh, you don't charge?
Chad A. Mitchell, 34837 Pepper Road, Frankfort, Delaware, 19945.
Thank you.
Tammy Mitchell, 34837 Pepper Road, Frankfort, Delaware, 19945.
Anything you would like to say as to?
No, we just applied, yeah, just for farm preservation. We've already applied.
Got to go step one.
And we're just waiting for this.
Absolutely.
Any questions of the Mitchell by anybody on council?
Absolutely not.
Nothing, Mr. Cole?
I know enough about you two that I don't need to ask any questions.
In front of his mouth, enough.
That's probably good.
Mr. Jones has asked me to refrain from talking.
Okay.
So things can move along.
Well, we'll see if there's anyone else.
But I have nothing against farmers.
Oh, good. That's good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else here in connection with this particular application? Let the record show that no one else is here present. We'll close the public hearing. What's your pleasure?
Read that thing.
Read that bad boy.
An ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from a GR General Commercial District to an AR1 Agricultural Residential District for a certain parcel of land in Baltimore 100 containing 86.83 acres, more or less.
Motion, gentlemen.
Make a motion to approve the ordinance.
Second.
Move to second that we approve CZ 1655 as stated. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Jones is yes. I forget Mr. Rogers is still not in. Okay. Motion passed. Smaller government is more efficient. Just remember that.
You're done. You can leave now.
Thank you.
No.
That's right.
It's
cheaper in Georgetown than
if you park and get a ticket, give it to Robin. She'll take it.
Next application, Leonard Stutzman.
This is conditional use number 1726. Application of Leonard A. Stutzman to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a plumbing business and related storage and parking to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Nanticoke 100, Sussex County, containing 1.623 acres, more or less, lying southeast of Route 36, 740 feet southwest of Road 36632. I've passed down a copy of the survey and site plan. The applicants were present during the public hearing, gave their presentation. The commission received comments from DLDOT and County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division. There were no parties present in support of or in opposition to this application. Mr. Burton stated that he would move that the commission recommend approval of CU number 1726 for a plumbing business and related storage based upon the record and for the following reasons. One, the use will not generate a significant increase in traffic or noise since a majority of the work will be conducted off-site. Two, the project with the conditions placed upon it will not have an adverse impact on the neighboring properties or community. Three, the applicant resides in the dwelling that will remain on the property. Four, the applicant has stated that this is a small family business with no more than one employee in addition to the applicant. This recommendation is subject to the following conditions. A, vehicles and trailers associated with the use shall only be stored in the designated parking area.
There you
go. B, the existing sign shall remain on the property. C, no outside storage shall be allowed on the premises. D, the tax ditch and its easement areas shall be shown on the final site plan. E, there shall be no more than two employees. F, the hours of operation shall be from 7:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. and G, the final site plan shall be subject to review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion, a second, and it was carried unanimously to forward this application to the County Council with the recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated. That motion carried 5-0. On March the 4th, we received comments from the Sussex Conservation District. The soils on this site are sassafras sandy loam and Woodstown sandy loam. With respect to erosion and sedimentation control, the applicants would be required to follow recommended erosion and sediment control practices during any construction and to maintain vegetation after completion of any construction. There's no storm flood hazard area or tax ditch affected, and it would not be necessary for any off-site or on-site drainage improvements. We've not received any additional correspondence, and that's all I have, unless you have any questions.
No questions, Jim? No. Jim?
Read title.
Is the applicant present?
Yep.
Would you like to come forward, please? If you don't mind, state your name and address.
Leonard Stutzman, 12001 Shawnee Road, Greenwood, Delaware.
Do you both plan to speak?
Say your name anyway.
Beatrice Stutzman, same address.
Would you tell us why you filed the application and why you would like to have it approved?
Well, it's just, I guess, not sure. We were informed to come down here. I guess somebody else filed. I don't know what it is. The building's already there.
Oh, somebody filed a complaint.
Somebody must have filed it. Well, I guess that's what happened, because I don't know. We got a letter stating that we had to be appear here, so.
Okay. So it's an existing structure, and you have a business going there, and
it's basically strictly storage, just for parking garage and lawnmower. And that kind of thing. It's a parking place, really. There's no business as such being on the premises at all, as far as plumbing goes.
Why was it advertised as a for a plumbing business and related storage and parking?
I think it started with my brother made me a sign as a gift that said Stutzman Plumbing. It was hand carved, and we put it out because we thought it was pretty, not that it was an advertising thing. And somebody went by and seen it, so I guess we didn't realize that that would, you know, make a difference.
Busybody.
So you paid your son $400 for that sign?
No, he gave it to me as a gift.
You wouldn't know the business is there if you didn't.
No,
see
right, no. If the sign wasn't there, but you wouldn't know there's no business. Absolutely. There.
So there's no outside storage.
No,
all inside.
No outside storage.
Okay, so you don't have any problem with these suggestions they've added?
No.
Here. Okay.
Right.
Let's just
park his truck behind the house, and that's at the end.
Well, everything's inside. I could understand if there was a lot of junk and stuff stacked outside, but there's nothing outside at all.
You're right.
Have you been by there, Mr. Jones?
Huh?
You been by there?
I go by there every time I go to Melford. Yeah, absolutely.
You've seen my sign.
He's probably.
I'll be honest with you.
Were you the one that?
It doesn't bother me. Actually, probably Mr. Cole came by.
Because
he certainly has. Yeah. He tries to get in everybody's business, so that probably might be why. No, that's it, Jim.
Okay. Is there anything else you wanted to say?
No, sir.
Okay. Thank you. Is there anyone here who wishes to be heard regarding this application? The application of Leonard Stutzman. Let the record show that no one else asked to be recognized. And we do have a recommendation of approval from the commission.
Close it and read the title, please.
We'll close the public hearing. The title is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a plumbing business and related storage and parking to be located on certain parcels of land in Nanticoke Hundred, Sussex County, containing 1.623 acres.
That's Nanticoke Hundred?
Yep. Kind of weird. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it.
So move, Mr. President.
Second.
A bit north. Move to second that we approve CU 1726 with the, I guess it's being through IABC on that, one through five as far as facts and conditions would be A through G. Mr. Cole.
I'll vote yes with the conditions and the recommendations of planning and zoning.
Mr. Phillips.
Based on the record recommendation of planning and zoning, I vote yes.
Mr. Rogers.
Based on the record recommendations of planning and zoning conditions, I vote yes.
My vote is yes also with the conditions as P&Z. Thank you. Now you can go back to work.
You can leave your sign out now.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah. You didn't sell them the sign, did you?
MTC Properties is the next application.
This is an application of MTC Properties to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for an office, storage, and steel truss manufacturing to be located on a certain parcel of land, line, and being in Northwest 400, Sussex County, containing 24.83 acres more or less, line east of U.S. Route 13, 1,250 feet south of Road 583, which is also known as Adams Road. The applicant submitted an exhibit booklet or an exhibit packet. Commission received comments from the County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division, comments from the Sussex Conservation District. The applicants were present, gave a presentation. There was one person that spoke in support of the application. There were no parties present in opposition.
You know it's good.
At the conclusion of the public hearings, the commission discussed this application. There was a motion and second and carried unanimously to defer action for further consideration. And that motion carried 5-0. We've not received any additional information. I passed down a copy of the site plan for your review. And that's all I have, unless you have any questions.
Any questions, Jim? No. Jim?
Is the applicant present? David Miller. Application of MTC Properties. Had any communication from them, Mr. Abbott?
No.
They were present at the commission hearing?
Yes.
Yeah, they would. Yeah, I talked to them.
Is there anyone here who wishes to speak concerning that application, either in favor of it or in opposition to it?
The attorney here.
No.
It or public, if the commission.
Pardon me?
I have the next two.
Okay.
He's not their attorney.
There is, the applicant's not here, and there's nobody here regarding the application.
Let's roll it to the end.
Okay. All right, good. Defer to the end.
Okay.
I can go make a phone call real quick.
Next application, Mr. Willard.
See what, because I know JJ knows.
Mr. Abbott will read his lead in.
This is conditional use number 1729, application of Paige Melson to consider the conditional use of land in a MR medium density residential district for multifamily dwelling structures, two units to be located on a certain parcel of land, line, and being in Broadkill 100, Sussex County, containing 43,558 square feet, more or less, line west of Route 5, 700 feet south of Route 9. The commission received comments from DLDOT, County Engineering Department, Sussex Conservation District. The applicant was present with his attorney. They gave a presentation. There were two people that spoke in opposition to this application. There was a motion and a second and carried unanimously to defer action for further consideration. We've not received any additional correspondence, and I'll pass down a copy of the site plan for your review. That's all I have, unless you have any questions.
Call somebody.
Or call them. Or Jackie's taking care of it. She's okay. Actually doing something, George.
Mr. Willard, you're put her in for a raise.
Not again. Jackie, you believe that?
Good afternoon. Tim Willard with Fuqua and Uri here in Georgetown representing the applicant. The applicant over my left shoulder is Mr. Paige Melson. Some of you may know him. He had Melson's Funeral Home in Rehoboth for years, sold it, and that now lives in Harbison, lives where this first property is located. I have two applications. They're both similar. I'm going to obviously deal with them separately. They're both conditional uses to be able to do a garage apartment. The first one is 1729. Planning Commission had this exhibit, and I have extra copies if you didn't get it with the file. With permission, Mr. Griffin, could I submit those?
You can submit whatever you have here.
They should have been in the file. I think I gave them extras. It just has photographs. It actually has the site plan you have, some language from your
comp. Anything wrong?
I don't think we have anything before us.
No, we don't.
I never can get that right. I give them tons of copies, but I brought extras. So it basically is just some exhibits. Mr. Melson came to me not shortly before this was scheduled,
sure.
And we worked on it and presented it to Planning Commission. You've learned that they haven't decided on it. They deferred on it. It's actually on their 3 o'clock calendar tomorrow. Okay. The 1729 is a conditional use application. It's basically couched to have a multifamily, two dwelling units on the property. Ms. Rogers, do you need one more?
I found them.
You did find them? I got an extra.
We're short too.
There you go. Everybody got one? Yep. Yeah, hang on, buddy. The title page should be 1729 because I have some of this information is redundant, but for the record, I got similar exhibits.
Okay.
The procedural posture is this. He owns this property. It's about an acre. It's on the west side of the Harbison Main Road there. The rear end of the property, the borders on Allen's, the chicken plant. It is an AR1.
Is this a Veazey property or the one was on the other side then?
I think this was Veazey.
Veazey.
Why am I hearing that? I can't answer your question. Somebody in our preparation for the hearing said, I think the Veazeys used to own that.
Okay.
In any event, it's a long piece of property. It's about an acre. He bought it about 9-10 years ago, and he lives in the house on the front of the property. It's AR1. We're asking for a multifamily conditional use. There was a garage in the rear of the property, and if you start and just look at the pictures, you see the garage? That garage has been there for years and years. It was 30 by 30. He tore it down and made it 40 by 30, so he enlarged it 10 feet in the back. That garage had a half bath in it that is plumbing and water hooked into it. I guess there's some argument, but for the fact that he actually made it bigger, that there was a non-conforming garage apartment in it. But in any event, we're not here before that. We're asking for permission to use that as a garage apartment. He got a building permit to do renovations on it, but he needs county approval to move ahead with it. There's another picture and this is quite frankly, one of these situations where, I have three sons, and when they come to me and ask for permission to something that they've almost already done, you're not necessarily too inclined to grant it, or at least you don't want to do it without telling them how it should be done right. But Mr. Melson has gone through the process of renovating these properties. He's gotten building permits. He's done certain things. Whether who gave him the information or not, the reality is that he was getting information. Well, if you don't have a kitchen there, it's not a dwelling, which is kind of true because that's how your dwelling unit is defined. But at this point, he wants to let that garage be used as a garage apartment with a cooking facility in it, and that's why he's before you. So you have a picture of it, and that's submitted for a few reasons. One, you can see where it's located, but also he actually did a pretty good job, we submit to you, in fixing up that property relative to other properties in Harbison. The next thing you have is the site plan, which actually shows by survey where the garage is located in the back of the property, and it's 30 by 40. You can see it's property is over an acre. You have the vertical of it. It's sort of designed, obviously, to look like a garage. He intends to use himself the bottom two bays in the garage for from cars. And the apartment upstairs has two bedrooms and one living area with the kitchen. You have the tax map, which we think demonstrates that this is does not adversely affect the neighborhood. You can see Harbison, although it's not incorporated, is more or less a little municipality. It's got a store, some commercial around the corner there, graveyard, church facility. You got major industrial or manufacturing in his backyard. So having an acre parcel with a sort of a nice country farmhouse with a unit in the back that's half used for a garage and an apartment upstairs not only won't adversely affect the area, but will enhance it with some economic benefit. We're all talking about lower-income housing. This would provide some means of that. I know you all had the old garage apartment ordinance, ironically, on your calendar this morning.
We just deferred on it. It's going to be after this.
Maybe you can dovetail it into this application, but I heard you deferred it, so I stayed around to see what y'all were going to talk about on that, because I know it's been kicking around for a while, but I think there are good arguments for that. Since 2005, but this is an individual effort to do sort of that in an area that's more or less a municipality. I've taken the liberty, maybe not wisely, but to give you a copy of your proposed comp plan. Your comp plan now in Harbison doesn't really recognize Harbison as a developing area. It's very clear the one I have doesn't have color, but the ones I submitted to the commission all were in color. But on the east side of the Harbison Road, I call it, it takes it yellow all the way down about a quarter of a mile. So the comp plan that you're working on thus far has recognized Harbison as a developing area. And developing area, as you can see, not dissimilar to what you have now as your comp plan, calls for multi-family, diverse use for a good reason. That's where infrastructure is, ultimately. Sewers plan there. And also, you know, you want a variety of housing in a town kind of setting. And we think this is consistent with that. So I've got the future comp plan, which is not law, but the old one is, and it's not dissimilar as far as identifying those areas. You also have with you petitions from most of Mr. Nelson's neighbors that live in the area, and you can see those addresses. He was able to get those and submit them to you. I think there are about 12 names. And I've submitted some proposed conditions that he'll get any necessary permits that he needs. He got a permit to drill a well. We have a witness here who's actually the plumber that worked on the property, if you have specific questions about that. And also that he just intends it for one family. There was some debate at Planning Commission, because I think we put on there we'll be limited to a family of no more than five, whether that might fly in the face of some federal or statutes dealing with rights of, you know, families, and that certainly could be amended to take the five out, but it's his intention.
Square footage.
Yeah, it's by square footage, and I wasn't sensitive to that when I wrote it, but that's his intention anyway, just to have one family in there, obviously. It wouldn't be really practical for more if there was any concern from opposition. So, Mr. Melson, you want to come forward, please? You've heard my representations to council about the garage apartment. This is for the property where you live.
Correct.
Are they true and correct?
Correct.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. Tim, I got a question.
May I ask a couple of...
Can I? I got two questions.
Yeah, we've got some questions, I think. Go ahead, Mr.
Absolutely. And I have the witness here is a pipe fitter that worked on the property if you need him.
What was the square footage upstairs?
Mr. Melson, what is square footage?
700.
700? On the second floor of your garage?
I think Mr. Lank asked me that for the last hearing. I told him 700 square foot.
You just, why don't you stay up here in case you got questions?
The Shane, when we have the application for Allen Foods, and there's some kind of zoning, unique zoning from the cemetery about 20 feet back down that strip. Robert Lawrence saying something about that.
I don't think there was anything in our ordinance.
But it wasn't AR or something. Something different kind of zoning. Lawrence said it was unique to the. Why it was what it was.
Well, Allen's Foods have industrial.
Yeah, but there was something along that strip.
Those setbacks are greater than what a different, you know, some other zoning districts. But there's not any regulation how close you can be to a cemetery.
Right.
If this application were approved by council, wouldn't Mr. Melson still have to go before Board of Adjustment on side yard variance?
Yeah.
It would since it's MR and it would be treated as a dwelling, it's got to be at least 10 feet, so variance would be needed.
Is it more if the dwelling has 700 square feet?
No.
Okay.
Just by it being a dwelling, it's got to meet the 10 feet.
Did this application come before council on a citation or?
There's no violations in the file.
Okay.
Mr. Griffin, maybe I could chime in on that. He was getting all his permits and when he got to final, they saw, you know, that he had done more than what the permit required for. They said, well, you got to get council to actually use this. And he said, all right, I'll do that. I think that might have been the trigger there. But
When you said...
And he's aware of the Board of Adjustment, because he didn't build on the footprint. It's, he enlarged this one by 10 feet in the rear.
How about the DNRAC with the septic and all that? Is that, has he got permits for all that?
Well, no. And somebody, to be frank with you, there was one person in opposition last time that actually submitted a letter saying that there, when they searched this file for these, that there were no nothing on file, DENREC-wise. What exists there is a septic system that was hooked up to both this garage and the house. And
you're allowed to have bathrooms, right, in a garage.
Yes.
Yeah, you can have it. Yeah, you can have that. So that's permitted. So there was a hookup to that.
And have a kitchen.
Question is whether it can be a second dwelling
right,
unit.
Exactly.
They have to approve that.
My bedroom, don't they?
Right, and the way I dealt with it, other than I have a witness here that might tell you what he did there, he hooked it into the main.
Well, I'm
system.
Just wondering, are there regulations that require us or the planning and zoning to submit this now, because it's a multifamily, to make sure that they have a permit from DNRAC?
They would have to have a septic approval from DENREC.
That they find whatever system he's got acceptable,
they
right?
That would
have to be one of the conditions of approval.
I included it, Mr. Cole, as a condition.
Oh, all right, okay.
He understands he's got to do it.
Okay, I didn't feel like reading.
The hearing record said that the upstairs was occupied by a friend, but the condition said it could be occupied by five persons. Wouldn't 700 square feet be a fairly small area for five people to live?
Yes, unless they're five.
Very close.
Unless there's a husband and a wife and then three babies, triplets. But yes.
Well, is it occupied?
I didn't know if we could set that limit. I just put a limit on there to sort of start the dialogue.
I think it should be maybe instead of a number, well, certainly.
That's going to fall under Fire Marshal.
Yeah.
Will this have to go for a Fire Marshal approval, too?
That'd be one of the approvals. Yeah. If it were approved.
That's by code, it, right?
Yeah.
Well, this triggers once it gets approved, right?
Yes.
Are you done? Everybody else done?
I just wanted to ask whether there need to be, Mr. Abbott, an approval from DENREC for the garage apartment to be hooked up to a well?
We would need septic approval, entrance approval from DLDOT, fire marshal approval, and if they disturb more than 5,000 square feet, Sussex Conservation District approval.
Okay.
No specific approval on the well?
Not on the well, no.
Okay.
Unless it was stipulated.
This was to your property, too. I'm sorry.
Tim.
We had a well permit.
And the last question I had, conditional uses typically are uses of a public or semi-public character. How would this one fit?
Well, I have already spoke of the need, or you have, ad infinitum, actually, for some alternative housing or some lower income housing, that there's a public demand for that, for nurses, for teachers, for school workers and things like that. And this is in a municipal type setting, and I think that fulfills a public need that has been recognized by this council.
Anybody else have any questions?
Tim, I saw like Bob Lawson and a couple people came. What do you think sparked that? Just because it came out?
No,
Mr.
Jones,
multi-housing,
I asked the same question. And I didn't have a really good answer because I didn't get a really good answer. Mr. Lawson specifically said, a gentleman spoke well. He just said, we don't want Harbison to turn into, a place like with a lot of people living there, or a dozen cars. If you go down this street, look at these properties, and what I showed the pictures, I mean, this Mr. Melson's has improved that property, and one reason, and he may or may not, I'm not going to call him as a witness, but his son's here, and one reason they were doing these renovations is because Mr. Melson's, he wants to keep an eye on him health-wise if he falls and things like that, so.
Absolutely.
And so I
can't. I thought it was strange for something as a garage apartment that there would be anybody even say anything, because other than the fact that it has to come in as a multi-housing, other than a different place.
Maybe that triggered it, and I note that they're not here today, so maybe we were able to answer some of their concerns.
That's cool. Okay.
There was nothing more specific than.
Right.
Anybody else have any questions?
Mr. Charles, huh?
just because.
Is there anyone else here? Will you finish, Mr. Willard?
Yes, sir.
Is there anyone else here who would like to speak in support of this application? Is there anybody else in support?
I've got a couple of photos I'd like the gentleman to look at.
Ms. Nelson. Mr. Griffin, I'll tell you, you can identify yourself.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, you'll come on.
Come on.
You just gotta say who you are and speak into the mic. It's on the record.
We want you to identify yourself once
I'm Paige Nelson Jr. and I live at this been living at this garage apartment that we're talking about today, and have a few photos I'd like to share with you. If I can I just walk them around and go through some
of them? Or you can give them, we can pass them down.
Well, I'd like to kind of just walk through them. This is my dad's.
Sort of hold them up so everybody can see.
Yeah, okay. This is my dad's home where he's living right now.
Right.
This has a garage apartment that's not completed in the back. This is a shot basically from that garage apartment of his home.
Is that the one? Is that the hearing we're on right now or the next one?
The first one, I believe, was his. This is where the first two homes I just showed you right there, that's his home. That isn't completed. The second one I'm going to show you is where I'm living.
Okay.
These are just a couple examples of a couple homes we have at Harbison. I'm going to pass these around. You guys can look. This, you're not going to be able to see it there. I'm going to pass around. That appears to be somebody living there. I got a photograph with cars parked here, cars parked there. Like I said, I don't know whose property this is. But it looks like they've got air conditioners in the, you know, the
this is south of railroad track here.
This is a couple houses down from the railroad track.
On the right. Right.
This is where I'm at right now.
This is what we're talking about. That one right there.
This is the garage apartment.
I'm sorry.
That's where I just showed you.
That's the next one.
Okay. Where he lives is the next one.
He's just been back a month, and he knows we got.
Who are the other four people that live with it? He
Mr.
said
Willard,
five living up there.
Nobody lives with.
Oh, didn't you say five people are living up there?
It's true.
But I just wanted to show you. I'm not trying to pick on anybody, but right. I just took a couple photos of places that are 100 to 200 yards away from where we live,
right.
And I think my dad's improved the neighborhood. He takes a lot of pride in his properties.
Mr. Willard's going to pull out the photographs that represent the property
hearing.
Involved in this application, so you can see those. And is there anything you wanted to say, sir?
You must be paying by the hour.
I think that since my dad has been in Harbison, he's improved the area. Where I'm at right now, the house in front is rented. The young couple lives there. It was a shell of the house. I think he bought it from Bob Davidson.
Way from here.
And now it's a beautiful property. I mean, it's, well, photos don't, that's really all I have. I don't think he's been a detriment. I think he's, I think the area looks, he takes a lot of pride in his properties, and it shows right there.
Absolutely.
And my dad's had some health problems,
right.
So I want to be close by. I can look out my window and see him mowing the lawn, so that's a good thing.
That is a good thing. Absolutely.
Thanks. That's all I got.
Is there anyone here who wishes to, anyone else who wishes to speak in support of this application?
I fed you lunch.
I'm going to cook you dinner.
Getting old.
These are adjoining properties.
It's a nice looking yard.
Go ahead.
I'm Mr. Johnson, and I live at 18672 Harbison Road. Mr. Melson is a close neighbor. In 1980, I bought the old Russ property in Harbison and renovated. Mr. Melson is the first person since I to buy old properties in Harbison and put money into them and improve the overall appearance of the neighborhood. As far as I'm concerned, what he's done is magnificent. All of his buildings are of spectacular quality and attractiveness. So I'm in favor of whatever Mr. Melson is applying for.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you,
sir. I'm sorry.
Mr. Johnson. Pardon? Was it Johnson?
S-O-N. Johnson. Yes.
Okay. Your first name?
Harold David Jr.
Is there anyone else here who wishes to speak either in support of or in opposition to this application? Let the record show that no one else asked to be recognized. Gentlemen, do you have any further questions?
Take a motion to defer.
We will close the public hearing, and we have to defer on this one.
What was the number?
Okay. Motion, Joe.
George, come on.
So move. Make a motion. Yeah, second.
What's the number? What's the number right now?
Huh?
Let's make a motion we defer on 1729 because PNZ's not acted as of yet.
Okay. Move and second that we defer action on 1729. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Yes. Motion passed. Mr. Griffin?
CU 1730, Mr. Abbott.
This is an application of Paige Melson to consider the conditional use of land in a MR medium density residential district for multifamily dwelling structures, two units, to be located on a certain parcel of land, line, and being in Broadkill, 100, Sussex County, containing 20,000 square feet, more or less, lying east of Route 5, 900 feet south of Route 9. I'll pass down the copy of the survey of site plan and the exhibit booklet. The commission received comments from DLDOT, the County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division, Sussex Conservation District. The applicant and his attorney were present, gave a presentation. They submitted a packet of exhibits. There were two people present that spoke in opposition to this application.
Thank you.
And there was a motion and a second by and carried unanimously to defer action for further consideration. That motion carried 5-0. And we've not received any additional correspondence.
Mr. Willard.
Tim Willard with Fuquay & Urey from Georgetown, representing the applicant, Mr. Melson. This is a conditional use application in an AR1. The property is located right in Harbison, just a few blocks down from the intersection of Route 9 and the Harbison Road. Here's the property. That's what his son was submitting in the last package, but with this. And there's the garage in the rear of the property. I'll submit those to you.
Okay.
Actually,
basically, we've got the same deal going two different places.
Absolutely. This is a smaller lot, but that sums it up, Mr. Jones.
Where are these properties in relation to each other?
They're, if I was in the property we just dealt with, the Allen side of the property, this is about 2 o'clock across the street. It's just down.
It's on the Lawson side.
Correct. Correct. East side of that.
Right.
Here it is, you can see it, sort of overformed.
Lake Premier.
Okay. And that's the garage, and he put it on the footprint there. And this one is 30 by 30. If you have this, I think.
Yes.
Once again, our same arguments apply. Just for the record, we believe this is does not adversely affect the property, and in fact, actually serves as a public kind of purpose to the extent it provides an alternative housing in what's otherwise a municipal area, housing that could be provided for either a young couple or somebody just getting started in life, or a nurse or teacher, postal worker perhaps. You'll see the pictures of the house. You see the site plan. The 30 by 30 garage is located exactly where the other one was located. That garage actually had plumbing to it before and septic hooked up to the septic. As we discussed in the previous application, we fully expect that if you do think favorably upon this, that a condition will be that all necessary DENREC approvals will be submitted or obtained. You have a site plan. My same argument applies as far as your comp plan. That is, it demonstrates that this would this alternative use or multifamily use there would fit in nicely to this area. In fact, your proposed site plan goes one step further, then extends the area of Harbison that goes on either side of that road as what you call developing area. And in that language, we call for singles, townhouses, multifamily dwelling units. You have a petition from 12 homeowners that are directly nearby. I don't know if Mr. Johnson signed this, but he spoke in the previous one, and he's one of Mr. Melson's biggest admirers because he's improved the area. But these other people have signed a petition saying what he wants to do in reference to this Lawson property or the property on that side of the road is an improvement, and they don't oppose to the small apartment he wants to put on the second floor. I've also submitted proposed conditions for those Mr. Melson, can you come forward, please? So I kind of hurried through this one, but it's since they've already heard the other one, and I think they understand the concept. Did you hear what I represented to council?
I did.
And this is true and correct, my representations?
Correct. Everything's correct.
Gentlemen, do you have any questions?
Thank you. Anyone here who would like to speak either in support of or in opposition to conditional use 1730, the application of Mr. Melson for approval of a two-bedroom garage apartment?
Mr. Griffin, if it's appropriate, I know the two witnesses that spoke on the previous application would probably say the same thing. If we can incorporate their testimony.
Well, if that's what they want to say, they need to just say that they come forward and say that they repeat the same thing.
They were good to go.
I, Mr. Johnson, would like to have my previous statement extended to the second application.
Thank you.
It's all that legal crap.
Pardon?
Go ahead. I'm sorry, sir. Don't pay attention.
Yeah, I'm Paige Melson, Jr., and I'm speaking on the first set of business to the second set.
Yeah. Thank you.
Statement applies to both. Thanks.
For anybody here who wishes to speak in opposition to CU 1730, let the record show when no one else has to be recognized. We'll close the public hearing. What's your pleasure, gentlemen?
A motion that we defer on conditional use number 1730 for the reason Planning and Zoning Commission is not active as of yet.
Move to second that we defer on CU 1730. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Rodgers?
Yes.
Yes, motion passed. Jim?
Thank you.
Conditional use 1728, MTC Properties.
Screamed here again. Come on down. Right, we'll let Tim.
Mr. Lank is going to read us, or Mr. Abbott. Mr. Abbott's going to read a statement, so you can just have a seat until he finishes, and then we'll ask you to
ask you
speak.
Why you're late.
Okay. This is an application of MTC Properties to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for an office storage and steel truss manufacturing to be located on a certain parcel of land line and being in Northwest 400 Sussex County, containing 24.83 acres more or less, lying east of U.S. Route 13, 1,250 feet south of Road 583, which is also known as Adams Road. The applicant submitted a packet of information that included an aerial overview of the site, a fire marshal approval letter, a Sussex Conservation District approval letter, a copy of a filed notice of intent, a DLDOT approval letter, a DLDOT approval time extension, a DLDOT support facilities report, and the site plan, and approved entrance and stormwater management plans. The commission received comments from the County Engineering Department and Sussex Conservation District. The applicant and a representative were present, gave a presentation. One person spoke in support of the application, and the commission deferred action for further consideration. And we previously passed down a copy of the site plan, and we've not received any additional correspondence.
Yep.
If the applicant will come forward, state your name and your address, and tell us about the application and why you would like it to be granted.
Sure. My name is Matthew Metz. I'm with Charles Murphy Associates, 14 South Maple Avenue, Milford, Delaware, 19963. First, I'm very sorry for the confusion earlier. I thought that this would be deferred because of the Planning Commission's deferment, but I appreciate you waiting for me.
Okay.
Again, this is a conditional use application with a site plan for the expansion of the existing all-span steel truss manufacturing operation located to the on the parcel immediately south of the subject parcel. The expansion is going to allow for current growth and future growth for the current operations, and that's the reason we are phasing it in two sections. The first phase would be parking, the stormwater pond, and the entrance associated with the office building. The stormwater design for phase one is built to handle future expansion, which would be phase two. The phase two itself would be additional parking and a warehouse, as well as converting some of the swales to a catch basins and culverts. The northern portion of the site is going to remain as farmland, and the closest structure that we're proposing to any wetlands is 161 feet away. There is currently an existing structure in the southwest corner of the site. It was at one point, I believe, a daycare center. Yep. They're planning on temporarily using it for office functions during the initial stages of construction. And upon completion of the office building, they're going to use it for office storage. The existing entrance for this old daycare center will be closed per DLDOT, and we'll have a cross-access easement as shown on the plan from our proposed entrance to their existing site, as well as in the back where the rear warehouse is proposed. There will also be cross-access between the sites. That's about it. If you have any questions, please ask me.
Any questions of Mr. Metz?
No.
Well, let's see if anyone else is here. Is there anyone else here who wishes to be heard in support of or in opposition to this application? Let the record show that no one else has to be recognized. Planning and zoning recommended approval. What's your pleasure, gentlemen?
Deferred.
I'm sorry?
Deferred, right?
Yes. Yeah. They deferred, okay.
Yep.
My mistake.
It took you longer to drive here than give the speech.
Thank you.
Make a motion we defer.
Okay. Conditional use number what? Your number.
I don't know. What is it? 1719.
Thank you. 1719.
I'm sorry.
No, 1728.
1728.
Defer.
Second.
Move to second that we defer on conditional use 1728.
16
Mr.
months.
Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Rogers.
Yes.
Yes. Motion passed.
If you hadn't been here, it'd been no record. You'd lost 16 months. Had to get a whole man in.
Yeah, that's why.
You advertise both public hearings at the same time.
Right.
And one's held even if the other one's deferred. Or they're both held.
Now I know. My apologies.
That's okay. We knew something was wrong. Murphy don't not show up.
Yep. Thank you, sir.
Charlie, okay. Charlie be haunting you.
Mr. Adler. We'll move to shift two, okay? Let me just... the reason I put these back on, because most of them have been sitting out, George, the garage apartment.
You don't have to be here.
Been sitting out since, 2005, and the other one's 6 or 8 months out. I want to just go through each one. If somebody's got problems with a sentence or anything like that, we can scratch it, but we need to either yay or nay them.
Well, you want me to talk about the first one real quick?
Well... I don't know.
Where we at?
Yeah, we're going to go into the ordinances.
Well, that's why they were on the record, I think, so they could be discussed.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just grab my crap here, right here. Okay. You want to talk about your first one, George? I know that you proposed it, and P&Z have problems.
And we just, Mr. Willard actually brought up a good point. The proposed ordinance, if I'm not mistaken, I don't have it in front of me, but it was... Here it comes. But it required a Board of Adjustment hearing, right? If that's not correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. What we just heard was a conditional use. Now, for a Board of Adjustment hearing, gentlemen, they would only have to come in one time for a garage apartment. They would also still have to come in for all the permits, as he just alluded to with Mr. Willard on DNREC. What other? All these other site plan requirements.
DLDOT, Fire Marshal.
Every one of them.
NREC.
So all I'm trying to do, we've talked about so many times about simplifying things. Now this is we had stipulations, I believe the site. They didn't like it.
They denied it.
They denied it
for the parking problem.
Yes.
Well, what I'm saying is what we're seeing is situations where people are coming in and having to go through a long process to get either an up or a down.
I
think that if you meet certain things, I think there is affordable housing advantages. And from some of these publications I get, gentlemen, there's this one that I shared with a couple of you from time to time. It's called Growth, No Growth. Throughout the country, they're actually addressing these. It also would give people that have space to do these kind of accommodations a potential to get additional income to be able to help upkeep these older properties. Like you just saw these houses that Mr. Melson has rehabbed and put a lot of money into. Sometimes you could see a reach.
Public Beach has done it for 100
years. So I'm going to say, I don't think it's that threatening, and I think it still goes to a hearing process. It's not like we're saying it's a permitted use. I think that we can still require, make sure they have the right parking, and et cetera, et cetera. So we just saw it with a conditional use. All I'm saying is provide for garage apartments at a certain size through the Board of Adjustment. I see it non-threatening. I think it has advantages.
100%.
I'd hate to see it get turned down because I think we're in an atmosphere.
I guess we need conditions somewhere coming out of your office being P&Z denied it, right? Is that correct?
Yes.
Do we do it in all zones and make it by right, or one thing that we need to talk about.
The ordinance.
No, not by right. That you can ask for a hearing.
Special use exception.
Special use exception,
which would go to the Board of Adjustment.
Nothing's by right.
Board of Adjustment. You want it to go through. You don't want it by right, George.
No, I think that's being too lenient. I think we had conversations about that when it was introduced, and I think the consensus was it ought to go through one hearing. To give people, neighbors or whatever, say, no, we don't want it, and then we hear good reasons, or we have people say, we don't have any problem.
Quicker time, I understand all that.
Just cuts it in half.
Be about a 10th. If somebody filed an application today, it's about 10 weeks.
10 weeks versus what a conditional use would be?
16 months.
16 months. So,
I bet you get a little better, but it's not going to be a while before it gains ground on that.
And this, the title of the ordinance, this is just for AR1, AR2, and MR districts.
Right.
Good for an RPC and all these other things. And so there's only certain areas that can work. And most subdivisions, Jim, you've done a lot of subdivision work, they have many times deed restrictions against it. So this is only for these scattered sites that are outside of organized subdivisions.
Can you put C1 in there or CR1? I know CR1.
C1 is going to be permitted. It's a permitted use.
Right. The old CR, the CR1.
CR1 would require conditional use.
Right. Which we can do that. They can file for that and ask for that in condition. I'm just saying, in these other zones, you can't do it.
If they are in a CR1 that say you've been approved.
I don't know. Typically, it's a single family home that has either a part of the house can be made into an apartment. Or a garage can be converted or something like that.
I was just wondering if, being we're discussing it openly and those kind of things, do we want to make sure? I'm trying to get on
to expand it to more districts?
Yeah.
That's extra copy.
I don't know what else is left. GR?
Got it. Well, MR, right?
Then you would be changing the title, though.
Changing the title.
I think the title.
Is it
changed the title?
You don't want to screw with that, then, Christ.
I think it is broad enough.
That's a start.
Exactly. That's what I'm.
I guess the thing is, then would we recommend this Shane to get some conditions for us?
It's not a conditional use.
Does it just go the right by that? This would give them this to the Board of Adjustment, Shane.
I think it'd be like what we just saw, where an applicant would stand up for a special exception.
But you still have to write. Do we have to write anything?
No, this is just an ordinance.
Ordinance amendment. There's not any. Not in conditions.
It's not a conditional use type of thing.
Attached to it.
So, okay.
I think the ordinance explains.
Well, the hearings have been held on this.
Right, I do understand that.
Isn't there square footages involved in this, right?
Not to exceed 800 square foot.
Right.
And it must have at least one parking space.
Right. Right?
There's no maximum number of parking spaces. But it does say at least one parking space, I believe.
I don't know. I mean, does anybody? There's only the three of us here, but I think Mr. Rogers walked up. But I see it as not being threatening. It's something that I think can be controlled, unless we saw the Board of Adjustment, which is very lenient many times on, like, you know, some billboards and special exceptions for in mobile home parks and sheds and stuff.
Right.
Now, if they didn't hear and give good hearings, I think we would hear about it and.
Yeah, it wouldn't take long to get feedback.
But I just think it's something we already permit. It just cuts one of the hearings out on something that I don't feel as if that's threatening, and all the neighbors would be notified. So, and again, it fits in maybe to that people who wanted to help with affordable housing. There are single people out there sometimes, older women, I actually have had an inquiry down at the beach where I got two, Mrs. James, who had James Jewelers from Seaford, Delaware, has come back from Florida, and she's, they can't find anything, just she and her daughter. So everything's too big. Everything's big houses and this and that. So
there is a need.
There is possible a need. Could it be abused? Heck yeah.
Just like hardship. Any other thing out, these things we do could be abused.
Right. So, okay. Any other comments? Any other,
you said it all.
Lynn, do you have any problems with it?
Said it all.
I hate this.
No. You pretty much said it all. The only thing you said was GR wasn't in there, right?
No, GR, we're not going to change the title.
Right, okay.
Because if we change the title, then we got to re-advertise, correct?
Sure.
Well, we could vote on this today.
Somebody makes a motion.
Is there any? I haven't heard anything.
I don't think anybody's got heartburn with this header. It's just been sitting out there.
Want to get rid of this one? I'll make a motion. We adopt the ordinance.
Second.
Okay. It's moved second. Do we adopt the ordinance on the garage of studio apartments? Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Yes. One second. Board broke a record. Got it done in 2 years. In 3 years. Almost.
We can't do the next one. It's too much in one day.
Huh?
Can't do the next one. It's too much in one day.
You're good until 6 o'clock. If you leave now, I'm not going to feed your ass. I can tell you right now.
You're buying? I didn't know you were buying.
I'll put that in the newspaper.
Dan's study, right?
It's spelled A.
Okay.
Capital A.
Capital A. Capital S. Okay, the next one, Shane, you want to read? Go because it is a little more. this is all talking about.
We beat this one to death, too.
This is an ordinance amendment, an ordinance to repeal Chapter 80 relating to lot maintenance and to amend Chapter 115, zoning, Article 25, Section 115-191, relating to the parking, storing, and maintenance of vehicles and boats and prohibited growths and accumulations on non-agricultural lands. Waste materials outside commercial premises, enforcement methods, and the violations and the penalties resulting therefrom. The Planning Commission held a public hearing on this on November 8th of 2007. County Council's hearing was November 29th of 2007. The Commission finally acted on this ordinance amendment on January 24th. Of this year. Mr. Burton stated that he would move that the commission recommend a denial of the proposed ordinance to repeal Chapter 80 relating to lot maintenance and to amend Chapter 115 relating to the parking, storing, and maintenance of vehicles and boats for the following reasons. One, while the purpose of the proposed ordinance makes sense, how it is currently drafted is of concern. Two, lot maintenance and prohibited growth should be addressed in an ordinance separate from issues regarding the parking, storing, and maintenance of vehicles, boats, and trailers. The ordinance concerning vehicles should be separated since many concerns are different from the lot maintenance and growth proposal. With some fairly minor revisions, a separate vehicle ordinance could be acted on favorably. An ordinance relating to the parking, storing, and maintenance of vehicles and boats on lots is a good idea. However, County Council should consider limiting its effects to areas designated under the Comprehensive Development Plan as either developing areas or town centers, and it should only apply to vehicles unregistered for more than 1 year. The proposed language concerning prohibited growth and accumulations is the same as what previously existed in Chapter 80 of the Code for many years. However, the wording should be clarified. The proposed wording is too broad to distinguish between ornamental grasses or landscaping, and it does not address some growth that may be appropriate for environmental reasons or rural areas of the county that are sparsely populated. As with the ordinance relating to vehicles and boats, perhaps the ordinance should be directed towards developing areas and town centers. There was a motion, a second, and it was carried unanimously to forward this ordinance amendment to the County Council with the recommendation that the ordinance amendment be denied for the reasons stated. That motion carries 5-0.
Is this the one where we presently allow
two unregistered vehicles?
This gets it down to one or zero?
No.
Zero, right?
Let's get this. Why don't we take one for one here?
I think IG hit it on the head when he said it.
If you look at, it says parking and storage, that's on page 4 of mine. I don't know.
Right, I got 4.
I guess.
Section B.
If you got A, B, and C, well, all those sections you see underlined are all new.
But you could have 2 units before. Automobiles or trailers is what it said before, that that don't have current license plates.
Right.
And we kept that in there at your suggestion, that you didn't want to go more strict than what the current ordinance was. Some of the people at the public hearing felt there should be no unlicensed vehicles there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think planning and zoning said that, you know, maybe it would be better if they were unlicensed for more than a year or something, but we kept in the not more than 2. And we extended it to boats and watercraft, which were not addressed in the prior ordinance. And I know Planning and Zoning Commission said that they thought the part about tall grass and vehicles should be separated, but the reason they were all together in this ordinance is that they were all together in Chapter 80 under Transfer Station Division. So we just, and that, since there's no
transfer. We already opened a whole can of worms just trying to do, you know, the bottom line, in my opinion, I thought we were trying to do with the constable's office was to give them the legal right to go ahead when they had a problem, send them a letter, and if they didn't respond, to take them to court.
Yeah.
And since then, this has all spun off into all this other stuff, which opened up.
Well, he had problems, didn't he, Finley? Because there was like boats and trailers and cars, and we were just addressing the thing,
boats,
and they had
boats
extra,
and
so
the trailers.
We've come down and narrowed it down that they can only have 2.
Well, before, George, you could have it on vacant. You could have these things on vacant
right.
lots. This
you still
says
can.
You can't have any on
any
vacant
on vacant
lots.
Lot.
No, no more vacant lots.
But you can
right.
have it
right.
on the lot where the house is.
Right.
Because Pete Dirks had tried to prosecute somebody down in the Forgotten Mile area and was unable to do it because the fella had all these units that are not a motorhome and
right.
unlicensed things on a vacant lot and then some on the lot where his house was.
So this ordinance tightens all that up.
This is
pretty broad.
And this one's still pretty broad.
Yeah. Pretty broad.
I think this is pretty broad. I think if you listen to what IG said in that from P&Z, it made a lot of sense. In the AR areas out there, you got some. You get in a plane and fly over this place, and it's full of cars. I mean, you got, I guess you call it junkyards. I mean, right around, not within 2 miles of here, you got one on Wilson Road. It's gonna. It's
but guess
go.
What? Nobody's bitching. So
it
what
don't
who
matter.
Cares?
It don't matter. It will have to.
It's
go.
Not our business.
No.
If the man
but
wants
150
cars,
I
don't give a damn.
I think
that's
in some
not
cases,
my problem.
I think in
no,
some
it
cases.
Is our business.
What? If
you
might complain,
it's not. If it's in violation, what you're talking about? That
yes.
one you referenced.
Yes.
If it's in violation, that's our job is to.
It's going
to
get cleaned up, Jones. You pass.
Jones, it's our job to enforce our rules.
Yes.
We don't get elected to ignore
yes.
county law. They look to us to enforce it. So if you don't like the ordinance,
I'm gonna vote no for it.
That's fine. That's
okay.
fine. But I'm just saying, we've got to address these. This
right.
growing population is asking us now to,
right.
to get this county cleaned up.
I can tell you, since
George
I've been in office, that road hadn't grown one day ago on bit.
But you can't just look at
Mr.
road
Jones.
For road, Mr. Jones.
You got to worry. You got to clean
the
up.
The existing ordinance doesn't allow more than 2, and the enforcement hasn't.
Beg your pardon?
The existing ordinance now in effect doesn't allow more than 2 unlicensed.
I understand
vehicles.
That.
Understand.
He just doesn't care for the law, I guess, right?
Habitual offender.
So we're not in. We're not. This is not making it more strict as to the number of unlicensed vehicles. It's just
absolutely.
Adding in boats.
But didn't you take
craft.
An oath? Didn't you take
it
an
is,
oath?
It is, it
wait,
is too.
Didn't you take an oath
now,
to uphold the laws
law
of the county?
Shut up
did
for
you
me, George.
Where's
like more, the note, did you?
I got the floor right now. So you sit there and be
did
quiet.
Did you have your fingers crossed?
Thank you. It said, doesn't say no vehicles, boat, watercrafts on vacant, and now you can put them on vacant lots now.
Well,
now you can't. With this ordinance,
you
can.
It does prohibit it on vacant lots.
His pants are going to be on fire.
I think George said something that with the increase in population.
He did say
where
something.
Where it's complaint driven is in the areas of where all the growth is going. The rural areas, you're not hearing a lot. And I think, and Shane can probably tell you this, it's complaint driven. And if you go starting it in the AR district and somewhere out there. Now, I got 2 beaches that are AR, I guess. Is Prime up in Broadkill AR?
Broad Hill's MR and GR.
Yeah. Okay, because those areas, they want the beaches straightened up, but in the, and you get in a plane and fly over this county, man, there is some huge graveyards in the woods from the 40s and the 50s, and I mean, well, huge. So are you going to, I think it, he hit it on the
how
head.
How many complaints do you get a week, Mr. Cole, Mr. Rodden? How many, I mean,
I get the same two or three.
One thing that you might want to focus on are the exemptions that are on page 6. It does not apply to antique or vintage cars that okay. you are keeping into a structure. It doesn't apply to a dwelling that's located on a larger tract used for agricultural purposes. And it doesn't apply to vehicles or boats that are not required to be licensed or registered under Delaware law.
I guess my point is that, again, you know, we started out just making this a thing that corrected as far as legally. I have no problem with the boats, trailers, and that kind of stuff. That was something that was not in our ordinance prior. Is that right, Shane? Is that correct?
Boats weren't in.
Yeah, boats weren't in, but you
registered vehicles was.
Right.
Wasn't, and that was it.
You might recall we had the fellow from Oak Orchard whose neighbors got like a dozen boats or something.
That's right. Yeah. He crabs a lot.
They're on a trailer. You know, we did take care of it if they were on a trailer.
Because they're on a vehicle.
But if they're just saying, you know, how to
just because you got tagged
trailer,
in.
Just got to land down on the ground. We couldn't even have five or six. We couldn't do anything about that.
Lawn ornament.
Right. But if they had two, we claimed that pretty much nested to anything that had to be legally tagged to go down the highway, so they counted as two if they were on a trailer.
Could you get up to the podium, because I'm going to ask you some questions, too. I mean,
state your name
so we know who you are.
My name is Alan Hallman from the Sussex County Constable's Office in Georgetown.
Welcome aboard.
Thank you.
This ordinance, this final draft of this, we've gone through a couple drafts of this, right?
Correct.
No, okay, this is the only one.
Okay, this is the only one then, Mr. Joseph. This draft, are you comfortable with this? Does this help, and in what areas does it primarily help?
And did you read why P&Z turned it down?
With the complaints, the type of complaints you get, I'm saying, does this address a lot of the things you've been having problems with?
A lot of what we get complaints on with vehicles, especially, people don't want any. And I told them, you know, I said, as far as what we're understanding from our superiors is, like people that has the antique cars and this kind of stuff are going to restore them or what have you, we could keep the two. But I mean, there's a mess of people we get calls from, they don't want any.
But well, I know that. He can tell you, in my district, I call him a lot.
Right.
And some of the things that we've got into that was on the surface of the road has ended up being 10 acres of cars and junk.
Right.
We got one right now south of here.
Right.
That
Hollis Wade, yes.
They have been hauling out there for months. Mm-hmm. And the other day, they turned the school bus. They were full of tires when they was in there. It just keeps growing and getting deeper. Mm-hmm. And I'm constantly calling him.
We've got it out of there, you know.
It's done now, but it just started and it went deep.
But it's been going on for quite some time because it's been in court several times.
I think we've heard enough, I mean, from our public hearings that we've had that there is a concern out there and we need to address it, Mr. Jones. So, I mean, is this the ordinance
that's what I'm trying to do. Is this particular ordinance in front of us? Do we need to modify it? Because again, or is it something that we can bring back on the table and make? Because this has been going on since August of 2007 now, so in 6 or 8 months, you know that. So, I mean, if anybody, the problem is, I'm here to sit here and say, what's your problems with it? And I got some issues with it.
The only change would be to answer your question would be if you would change it to zero vehicles per.
In an MR zone or an AR zone.
Shane, do we have a copy of what Mr. Burton recommended for denying his motion? Because there were some good points in there about it's not a bad ordinance. He said it just is the way it's written and it needs to be separated.
Mm-hmm. It was in that report that.
What he was recommending, Alan, was is that the tall grass part.
Okay.
Over on page 6, be pulled out and made a separate ordinance, separate from the boats and the vehicles and that sort of thing.
Right. Yes.
But as I recall, it was all together under Chapter 80 when it was under the transfer station.
As an attorney who maybe give us some guidance. Would it be better to separate, or are we fine the way it is, or does it make logical sense two separated, because we could adopt this ordinance, striking the ornamental grass section, and then bringing and reintroducing that and addressing that whole area under a separate ordinance.
We didn't increase the height of the grass. We left it what
I know,
it is.
But,
we opened up a can of worms with the noxious grass and all the other stuff.
Jim, the question is, should an ordinance like this be separated? Because they're such entirely different areas. We've got junk cars and we have grasses and weeds and living things.
Well, if taking out the prohibited growth and accumulation thing would resolve your issues and get it passed, then it probably should be separated.
Well, that's a whole other area that we can address.
If taking that out is not going to make any difference to whether you approve it today, then it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. And it was left all one because it was all one in
the old days. I understand about how we got it where we are, but I'm just wondering if it makes sense. I would make a motion if it did make sense, gentlemen, if there's any consensus, that we do strike the ornamental grass part out of it and then have our staff work on a ordinance just for ornamental grasses, weeds, and obnoxious whatevers.
Could I ask if the council did that, would that mean that we would not be able prosecute at all like we currently do, or at least enforce for grasses over 12 inches high?
Until we adopted something new, probably.
You'd have to go a little further, I think, if you were going to take out the prohibited growth and accumulation. Because, well, what you're doing is you're repealing the entire Chapter 80, so you wouldn't have any law regarding tall grass at all until you adopt another ordinance.
Well, we could defer on, if we did separate it, then we could defer on that one while we had, and if we had a consensus to separate
But what you could do is repeal all of Chapter 80, except those parcels dealing with prohibited growths and accumulations. So that would leave your existing prohibition against having grass taller than 12 inches in effect while you were getting another ordinance adopted.
Right. But I didn't think it was another ordinance we were really looking for. We were going to keep the grass the same as it is, but make an exemption for the other type of weeds, you know, or whatever. They were automatic, you know.
The only thing I got written down from the public hearing is that they took out the word noxious. I mean, that we did a little house cleaning. The 12 inches, because I think basically once this ordinance gets passed, and everybody quits reading about it in the paper, that it's going to go back like it was, because it's been 12 inches for ever since we've been around. So, I mean, it's not a big issue.
Oh, no.
I think the issue is the cars. That's what generated this, is the other junk, washing machines,
that's
the cars, and all that crap.
We opened up the whole bag of worms, and then we screwed everybody. I mean, now everybody's come out, and then, you know, some of these things that were in place, now all of a sudden seem to be an issue.
Right, and we were coming underneath the landfill, which they no longer control it.
But what do we want? What's the consensus to do? What?
Well, I think you need. I mean, let's see. I'm going to tell you point blank. I got no problem with the boats being included in there, and I do have a problem with the vacant lots, and the fines, some of the fines, but.
Would the vacant lots be just applied in like town centers or development areas?
Yeah, I mean, if you want to do it, because it seems like the complaints are from Oak Orchard, Broadkill, you know, some of those areas, and in the rural area, there's very, I mean.
And that's what they were saying from P&Z.
Right. Well, okay, I guess my question to you, Jim, can we send this back? No.
It's our ordinance.
It's our ordinance.
We just sent it to them because it's the land use ordinance. We drafted it. If we need to do something to get it into shape where you will approve it, then we need to do that, not send it back to them.
Right.
They've held the hearing they were required to hold.
Well, we haven't said a word.
I mean, we're going to restrict.
I think that we shouldn't do it on allow vacant lots. We don't allow just a shed to be placed on a vacant lot.
Right.
We don't allow a lot of things.
More than an acre. If it's more than an acre, they can put a shed.
They can put a shed up on more than an acre. Okay, well, maybe that.
I mean, I think it seems like the complaints with the vacant lots are in towns or, you know, unincorporated areas like Ellendale and some of those places that don't have a governing body.
I got a suggestion. He just said, and I didn't know this, I always had heard in my mind, I recalled that we did not permit just a shed on a vacant lot. Mm-hmm. Now, so if you're in a subdivision, you have a vacant lot,
you know, your typical subdivision is not going to have an acre lot, right? But anyway, in excess of an acre, you're allowed to have a shed. So why don't we, maybe why don't you say, put a size in there so that your half acre, quarter acre lots and 1 acre lots in a lot of these older subdivisions wouldn't have a bunch of junk on them. But if you had a piece of ground of, like, say, 2.5 acres or some number, you would be permitted to have on a vacant lot some junk.
Yeah, because like down to Oak Orchard, you know, typically you have such a small lot, and these folks are putting their boats out in the front yard, which is, you know, right next to the highway, and these people riding by, you know, that just bought nice homes down that way.
May I ask?
They're hollering, you know.
Yeah. Could I just run through a couple of things? On page 4.
Right.
The thing about C, where you can't have it on a vacant lot.
Right.
What if that were changed to say that no vehicle or boat or other watercraft shall be situated on any residentially zoned property less than 1 acre that is vacant and not improved with the dwelling? Would that solve anybody's problem? Because that's basically most typically these lots are probably going to be less than an acre where these cars are, where they have been a problem in the past. Is that correct?
A lot of times.
That could be a good compromise. I could probably live with that and see how that works.
And could you for the town centers and do
anything,
you know,
across the board? Acre.
Town center.
Got to have an acre.
In a town center.
I was just trying to do it because it seems, like I said,
kind of beaten.
In the rural area, we get very few complaints. It's minimum right. Compared to the higher density areas.
Right, right.
Comments.
Like your associations, they do not permit any vehicles untagged.
Beg your pardon?
The associations do not permit any untagged vehicles.
But basically, anything on the east side is pretty much that's got a homeowner association doesn't have too many issues.
Right.
Oak Orchard's a problem child, Broadkill. Probably Slaughter Beach, some of those areas, or probably Slaughter Beach not because it does have a town.
An acre sufficient? Can we change that wording and move on?
And
the other part was if you
on something like this.
In the other part,
I see something we can move along. It takes three to do something here.
The other part was if you repeal the prohibited growth and accumulation as to grasses and weeds.
Mm-hmm.
We could either repeal it or we could add some modifying language because it says weeds do not include ornamental shrubs and trees. We could make it read grasses and weeds, or grasses do not include ornamental grasses. Weeds do not include.
I got a whole thing on weeds.
Well, I mean, we could do almost anything to it. We just need to know where you're going with it.
Well, I think because the gentleman from Melford.
He was talking about grasses. Backyard habitats that may be
right.
Favorable, but there was.
Unless somebody's complaining about it, nobody's going to mess and bother that man with a backyard habitat.
I understand that, but if you got it in the books and somebody gets a case behind it, that's all they got. They just keep thumbing through until they find out that they got a deal.
And nobody's bothered him yet, and we're not changing the height of it.
I do understand. I know what you're saying.
And we're not changing the definition.
Remember, I understand that, too.
Like two or three complaints on that most of the time. Right. That seems that it's because somebody's trying to sell a house not too far from it, and there's a lot of looks
junk.
Yeah, in front.
So we could call weeds noxious weeds. I mean, those are defined in state law. Johnson grass and that type of thing.
Jim, P&Z is suggesting that we segregate developing and growth areas from the rest of the county.
That's it. Yeah, kind of like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is that
like an overlay zone for the...
Is that legal for us?
What they were saying is that this should only be in effect in town centers or developing areas.
Right.
I guess basically what you'd be saying there is it's all right to have a junky appearing property with numerous boats, trailers, whatever, as long as you're not in a town center or developing area, but right. You can have
that's
it everywhere.
Where
else.
Wait a minute, Finley, if somebody went and took and bought some of these strip lots that were done years ago,
right.
And their houses are lined up every so often, or somebody did some of these minor subdivisions out in the AR district, which is out beyond in a level 4 area and all this other good stuff. And when they complain, we're going to say, oh, sorry, we can't do anything about it. See, I don't think
but George, most typically there's not that many empty lots that people own two or three lots strip development, because strip development as a whole is a more affordable way to buy property. and it's not going to be.
But I'm just saying, if somebody's out there,
you know,
jumping
you still
up
have
on,
the number of two vehicles.
Are we telling?
You still got number two vehicles, a boat to do. You still got a limit on it. You know, they got to be either or, one or the other.
Across the whole county, I don't know if we need to. I don't know the advantages of that. I mean, big areas aren't going to get complained about.
That's what I'm
ever.
Saying.
They're never going to get complained about.
But I'm saying, but you if you have a problem with the, if we do go to development area, town center development districts, and those kind of things, and it's outside of that, you still have a what do you call it here, a catch-all, which we have now.
No, you don't. Not the way this was presented, because you're repealing all that.
Exactly.
We're not. It says. No more than two, it says right here, it says no more than total of two motorized vehicles, boats, or other watercrafts, which are either disabled, that's in the ordinance now.
Yeah, but the title of this repeals all that because the intent was you were going to replace that whole framework with a new ordinance.
This is a new, this is, I am reading the ordinance.
See, it's section B above that.
It is number four, section B.
Right.
Page four, under parking and storage and maintenance of vehicles and trailers.
You're talking about the part in brackets?
Yes, the one that's underlined, is that old or new?
The part that's in brackets is the old, and it's being taken out and replaced by the underline.
This is the underline is new. If you look at section B, it says it kind of protects that. I mean, it goes through there, and that they can have no more than two.
I got a suggestion. I make a motion we defer on this in this ordinance, and we come back and we do something later. We're going in circles with Finley.
No, we're not. We're going through.
I agree with him.
Huh?
I agree with him.
I make a motion we defer.
Read the title. You want to talk about it all afternoon?
I know. It's
got until 5 o'clock.
No. Come on. We're not getting anywhere. I think we need to go back and revamp and look at this.
I think you need to read what PNZ said.
This is why we're here.
Give me a copy of that PNZ thing when you get a chance. IG's.
I mean,
you want to make sure that people can keep junk out in the country, and it's hard to move along. And we only got 2-2. We'll end up with a 2-2 vote. Because what's his name here? Hear no evil, see speak no evil. Here is quiet as a mouse, and he'll just, you know, anyway. So it'll be 2-2, and we'll get nowhere after all this conversation. Let's just wait till Mr. Dukes come back, and we'll have another conversation about this.
Okay.
I think that would be best.
Defer again?
I make a motion we defer on this ordinance. Yes. Yeah. I mean, I'd like to get something
heard up. He told me something.
I just want to move on.
Yeah, I know. We're all you frustrated.
I'm trying to move on.
It's a 2-2. It ain't going to happen today.
We're tired. It's frustrating.
Okay.
You wore us down.
Second, we defer action.
You're getting like my wife. You wore me down. Yes, I'm deferring.
Mr. Phillips.
No.
See, I told you. Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
No. Okay. Keep moving.
Unbelievable.
We've got to work on this 2-2 vote then.
Huh?
We've got to work on this 2-2.
But on the boats, what are you
trying to get a lot of here? He said he's not coming the rest of the year.
That means a motion failed and the
deferment failed, Robin. The deferment failed.
The defailment first.
We're still.
I was just trying
to
defer something. God.
All right.
I mean, a point that needs to be made is that folks who buy into a development, a major subdivision, granted, Mr. Cole's strip lots are one thing, but pretty much this county, the vast majority of it is in developments that have a set of covenants that cover a lot of this stuff. And I don't know that the county can be expected to police all these developments when they have a guiding set of regulations that their homeowners association is charged with enforcing. And they pay homeowners association dues to maintain some standard in that
that's
development.
Not where the complaints are coming
I don't think
from.
We get
we
any
do
complaints.
Get several,
not even doing that.
We do get several from there, though.
Yeah,
because they
several, want, but the most, the majority of them are not from subdivisions.
Right.
But from older subdivisions, I write that don't have any active homeowner association.
But even the newer ones, we're getting them because they want to utilize us instead of using our lawyer and have to
exhaust
our funds through them. And, of course, we can only do whatever the county. Their rules are stricter than ours anyway, so most of the time we can't help them anyway.
Right.
Well, how about if we came up with a revision to this that said that this will not apply in any subdivision that has a restrictive covenant that prohibits the type of thing that this ordinance prohibits, we defer to them for enforcement, and we're not going to step in.
Well, that's Alan's telling them that now.
Mm-hmm. Because in most cases,
well, I mean, make it official so that we don't have them electing to use us instead of spending money through their homeowners association. I mean,
once we get
I don't think we can do that today. You'd have to defer and give me specific directions about the changes you want, because it's hard to shoot in the dark if I don't know what five different people want.
I think that the biggest issue, I mean, I'm going to emphasize the biggest issue I have is on the, that I don't think I have any problem with the town centers or the growth areas or something like that. Yeah, how you want to cut that, if there's an issue here with and put into 1 acre, you know, you know, that would be a problem. You know, I think I understand the B section that is you know, a maintenance issue more that puts the boats, trailers, and everything else combined. I thought the next section, as far as what it says about enforcement, that's something that we were only supposed to be doing.
We were addressing more than that. No,
that's if I'm not mistaken, the constable. We did have some complaints about Oak Orchard and Broadkill, two places.
It's broader than that.
Okay.
We changed the violation process.
Yeah, we need to define too.
That's what I was talking about, the violation part of it.
Off a trailer, on a trailer, what have you.
Mr. Jones,
it says in writing, including tox packs, and I'll do, and it says 60 days, which you didn't have a building, and now you will if we pass this ordinance because of the housekeeping, and then we can take them to court and all those type of things and the fines.
You said, Mr. Jones, earlier, I thought I understood you say you had problems with the fines.
Just think some of them. I mean, the first, you know, 250 to 500 for the first, you know. I mean, I know we got some chronic ones, and I know we've gone to court and got some pretty good sized ones. But,
Mr. Jones, can I just make one other comment?
Yes, sir.
We just had a vote where it went 2-2. We could go through this again for another hour, and we end up with a 2-2 vote. We've gotten nowhere. Could we just defer and come back when we have an opportunity to get something done? Because Mr. Rogers and I may have a meeting of the minds today. I know it's rarely this happens, but it could be one of those days. If you two stick where you are, and we stick. I'm just saying, if we stick on our positions, you stick on your position, we're going to get nowhere after all this conversation. I would rather have a nice, clean conversation, get your ideas about these fines and some of these other things.
I read my ordinance, Mr. Cole. I said,
Sir, make a motion so we can move on. If you've got some ideas, and see where that one goes.
I can't make a motion.
Then, Mr. Phillips, would you make a motion?
Well, there's something to be said for just shooting this down, letting the constable come back with a revision to the existing code specifically.
Make that motion.
Specifically for a part of this. I mean, where we get in trouble is when we try to do this comprehensive thing that covers all the bases. No, nothing against you, Alan. You're doing a good job. You're trying to fix things. But sometimes, like I told the Denright guy, it's better to take baby steps on these things and get them taken care of incrementally so that you don't create this public outcry over this little specific or that little specific.
Make a motion to do whatever you're talking about.
But you remember back when we had the constable staff all come in?
Right.
At that point, you guys said,
I didn't say
take this road. Exactly. Here we are today.
I didn't say.
Well, three of you said take this
three
road.
Three majorities right. Said that. One's missing.
So if in light of that, if there's no motions made, Mr. President, then can we make a motion to defer again and try to get
like to make that to tell staff.
Something.
But that's a new ordinance, the way he's doing, right? You got to do a whole new thing.
No, we have to defer on this one while a new one's being written, because we still have an old one in place.
We can make amendments to this.
If we shot this one down.
And we could just leave it sitting out there.
I think if you defer.
It may be possible to amend this and not have to do a new public hearing if you tell me what you want in the amendments.
I can look at
the totality of what you want to change and determine that it's less restrictive than what's proposed.
Okay.
If we go more restrictive, then we got a problem.
I think all your questions are answered in that reply for the denial that P&Z did. For the same the reason you want it is the reason they didn't want it. I mean, you just need to get it, read that, what that guy made that motion. Let him give you a copy of what.
I got a copy.
That, you'd be,
read be that,
your copy.
And that answer,
word for word.
That's exactly what
I'm sorry,
covers everything.
That's
the motion
the
that
motion
they made.
The motion that Mr. Burton made.
That tells it all.
That report you have is word for word from his motion.
You got to just tell him. Deadlock. Move on.
Read that. Can we defer and you read that tonight? Have privacy of your own home.
Get the hell out of here. I don't have it. Somewhere along the line.
I don't think they got it.
I don't have it, Shane.
That's where he reads his magazine.
Mr. Jones, would you accept the fact that we are deadlocked today and we should just defer on everything and come back when we have a fresh...
I think so.
I mean, we could vote on this today.
We could do anything, but you'll have a 2-2 vote. Then vote. Make a motion. Make a motion.
But this is not a bad thing you got in front of you, but I think you need to take consideration what P&Z said. It made a lot of sense.
P&Z is saying we need to separate this out. And the best way to do that would be to kill this comprehensive ordinance, come in with an amendment to the existing code that simply addresses the vehicles and boats.
We can still leave this ordinance.
That's exactly what P&Z is saying.
We don't have to take action on this ordinance, and we can direct the staff to do exactly what you're doing and leave everything like it is.
And you have still on the books.
Exactly.
Still have a ordinance on the books.
Well, this is not going to kill it. This is not going
to
kill
it. Why shoot it down? What's the advantage of shooting it down? You don't have to.
It's a clear message. We need to go
to who? Nobody's here. Bruce is here. I forget your name.
Dan.
I'm here.
You don't care.
Can you take...
Thanks a lot.
I understand we're, like always, we don't know what the hell we're talking about.
God, we've spent 20 minutes now on this.
Can you take, like, the enforcement, do away with... You know, I think the issue is that we want the enforcement. I think the enforcement needs to be in.
The fines are too high.
A lot of people are watching this.
The fines need to be looked at.
And see this leadership. God almighty.
We could do all of that if somebody would just make a laundry list of what you are inclined to consider.
But you better get a consensus of that laundry, supporting that laundry list, because you got nothing today, and you're not going to get nothing unless we just defer and come back later.
And unless I know what you're wanting to change, I can't tell you.
As soon as I got number 3, I might have something. You know, I'm just saying that
I really think we're not going to get anything done today.
So what are you going to do? What are you
defer!
Hopefully somebody's going to give me a laundry list of what the changes would be so I can determine whether they're more or less restrictive and whether we could still work with this if they're less or whether we need to go back to the drawing board if they're more.
That's what I'm trying to do.
All you got to do is defer and do that.
But you're one person.
Just defer and do that. Just defer and do
that. I can't make that determination based on what...
What is deferring to it? Nobody said I suggested anything.
What he said, it allows you to give him that laundry list from P&Z and your own thoughts to see if he can incorporate them in this.
Well, let's see. We tried it at a public hearing. Now we're trying it again, and we haven't got squat done. So, I mean, one more time, it's 3 strikes and you're out. Is that the deal?
We still got...
You're the one holding
it up. You guys got to read your minutes and stuff like that so you can have your act together when you get here so you can make suggestions. I'm making suggestions, but nobody else wants to agree with
it. They're very poor suggestions.
They're not poor suggestions.
Where is Mr. Dukes?
On vacation. He's down sitting somewhere. He's about to retire. He didn't care.
He's damn glad.
So.
He's happy he's sitting somewhere.
Yeah, he's a smart one.
But it sounds like the concerns are about the homeowners associations.
Mm-mm.
Where there is a homeowners, at least.
Okay. I don't think that's a big issue. I think if you did something with the town centers and those things, that would solve the whole issue.
Just make it apply only to town center and developing area? Is that what you're saying?
That's just for the vacant lots.
That's what P&Z is suggesting.
P&Z, I think, answered
everybody's
question.
I think that's something you could put on your hit list would certainly bring it all center.
We'll see them boys tonight, won't we?
Yeah, Jim, you can
don't
ask,
bring it
you
up.
I mean, I'm not saying anything. I want to get out of there tonight.
That's what I have to meet tonight.
I'm just trying to save you a trip home, buddy. The enforcement part, is certainly where we're supposed to go. I mean, that was it.
All right, I'll make them.
It can be amended.
Mr. Jones, I'd like to make a motion to defer on this ordinance.
Well, we still have, I mean, are you? Would you? I got a question on this.
Oh, my God.
I'm trying to give Jim some guidance here.
After the meeting. All of us can give him guidance.
And that's why we got a crappy ordinance that we're bitching about now.
Okay, you know. So far, Mr. Jones has told me that you'd like to make.
You think it's crappy.
I know it's crappy. It's
the vacant lot thing is. Go ahead,
this whole job's going to your head.
No vehicles on a vacant lot unless it's more than an acre, right?
Right.
They said we need to define antique or vintage cars. They're already defined in state law, so as defined by state law. Okay. The other thing was somebody said apply it only to town centers and developing areas.
Right.
And the other thing is that you want to make it clear that it's noxious weeds. And the other thing is you want to back off some on the fines.
Look at the...
No, I don't. There's no consensus on that. You got to get their attention.
That's what Mr. Jones said.
I suggested that, now, you don't like that, but that doesn't mean there's not consensus. Would you have a problem with that, Mr. Rogers?
I think y'all doubling what they are.
There you go. So I think we've got a deadlock there.
You got a deadlock there. Okay.
So leave that fine. Fines are at leave as is.
Anybody else have any laundry list?
That's the problem now. They have no fine structure for whatever, and they pay the fine and go on and keep violating.
Right.
Well, the court on the judges sometimes will go just for trash typically, and they might charge $200 and some. The next one would go in, they charge $20.
Right.
And theirs might be worse.
And it had a minimum. We need to bring
the judge. Another problem is that the judges in JP court often suspend it, so this ordinance says it cannot be suspended.
Right. In some cases, that's true.
I got no problem with fining them. I just think it does, you know.
Well,
there are some chronic people out there, there's no doubt.
Mr. Jones, do you recall that what this says is that the judge may impose a time period for correction.
Right.
Before he lowers the hammer.
Right.
So he can give them a chance to clean up their act. So we
recommend. And most of them are fairly, I mean, like I said, but usually by the time we step in, it's already hit the fan, for lack of a better word.
And in some cases, when we do go to court, like you said, they do also do that, you know, a continuance on it.
Does anybody else have any other suggestions?
Can I bring one thing up?
Absolutely. Go ahead.
There was a provision. One of the concerns was that it shouldn't apply to wooded areas or where people are regrowing, I guess, a wooded area. Maybe not for a
because the trees
commercial forest.
Trees will make it less visible?
Well, every once in a while, we get places where people
will say that of mine.
Build a home, you know, they have to clear out a wooded lot, and next door may be a lot between two neighbor situations, or one this one clean, but fast forward, they moved in to clean their lot up to be able to put a home there. Follow what I'm saying? In other words, it's already a wooded lot when they buy it, and they have to clean it to be able to put a home in there. They might have lot one, lot three, might have cleaned their lots, lot two might not have cleaned their, taken their wood off of it.
What does this have to do with junk cars and boats?
Oh, I thought
it doesn't.
Oh, you're talking
about it's only grass.
Oh, the grass.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, have we had any complaint about tall grass on wooded lots?
How about tall trees on grassy lots?
That way we won't have to worry about the forest buffer.
The only thing I heard on the grasses from the public was that they wanted some recognition.
Right.
That there could be types of grasses that may be beneficial.
Right. Yeah, and I have the gentleman, like I said,
Joe Pieweed. We can specifically exempt Joe Pieweed.
I'll make a motion we defer.
You already did. You got a motion on the floor. Second. I already did.
And you have those suggestions, and when do you think you could have will you look at that and give us a report on April the 1st, Jim?
April the 1st?
Good day to do
it. I can give you a report tomorrow.
Okay. That would be fine. It would be okay with me, because if we can be done, then we'll put it back on April the 1st.
But tell me whether I've been given all the things you want me to accommodate, because I have to...
Anybody got any more suggestions?
You may get some out of Mr. Boots when he gets back.
Yes.
So I can't promise you got
it. Yeah, I can't.
I won't need a ride.
We're giving it a best shot.
Okay.
You've got a lot today. You've got a lot done.
Okay.
Well, I'll start out by saying if I have
given all the suggestions,
here's what we can do.
Give us a deadline and get it to you. There you go.
Yeah.
April 1st?
Oh.
How about getting it to me by April 1st? And I'll get it to you by April 15th or something.
There you go. Tax day. Is it April 15th or tax day?
What did you say, Jim?
Be back at the BG.
You're not meeting next week, so if you give me all your suggestions within by the next meeting, 2 weeks from today, then 2 weeks after that,
I'll tell them you're listening.
Give you a pretty good idea of where we can go with this thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we'll defer action until till April the 1st.
No, you're gonna have
April the 15th.
Well, yeah. Just put it back on the agenda for
April 1st. You want to put it back on the agenda for the next
April
meeting?
April 1st.
Yeah.
And then we can discuss it again, and then...
I mean, maybe Mr. Dukes...
We're going to ride this horse one more time, you know.
We can ask Mr. Dukes now to let me know any suggestions he might have before.
Okay.
You know, Rodney.
Okay, it's been moving.
He didn't see it coming. I got to go. Bye.
get out there and issue some citations for junk cars.
That was Rodney Smith watching this about the, he had some input, Rodney did, from planning and zoning. He wanted to say he's been watching it, he can't believe it.
Should tell him we approved his development this morning.
We can't believe it. We're here and we can't believe it.
The move to second that we defer action to April 1st.
He said, who is the guy leading the council? He wanted to know who the guy in the middle was.
Not voting. Yes, we got two not voting.
He's got his mouth on, pay attention, son.
Yes. What are we doing? Deferring?
He put you down as not voting.
I put you down as not voting because you run your lips.
Like who's on first?
Yes. Mr. Phillips.
Mr. Phillips?
Yeah.
Mr. Rogers?
Oh, yes.
Yes. Okay. Next one.
I make a motion we defer on the next one. I'm worn out.
What was that? The best thing I tell you, tighten up.
No,
that's the only one planning and zoning approved.
No, we got one.
Finley's not gonna like that or something. I don't know what's going on.
Finley's gonna like.
He wants everything.
Buffers.
He's gonna want everything to look like.
Thanks, Hamlin.
M.S. Williams.
Is that her name? Kathy Hayward. Look like an M.S. That nice girl.
Huh? Yeah, Kathy.
Named her baby Buffer.
Buffer?
Baby Buffer.
Baby Buffer.
They go call it Buffy.
That's good.
Ready?
There's a motion on the floor.
Give me your best shot, Shane.
This is an ordinance to amend Chapter 99, Articles 1, 3, 4, and 6 of the Code of Sussex County relating to forested and or landscape buffers, site plans and bonding requirements, and to amend Chapter 115 of the Code of Sussex County, Article 3, to add a provision allowing council to require a forested and or landscape buffer for conditional uses in residential planned communities of single-family or multifamily dwellings. The Planning Commission held their public hearing November 29th of 2007. Mr. Lank summarized the ordinance and read the synopsis. He read a letter from Mrs. Granke in reference to the ordinance. There were no parties present in support of or in opposition to this amendment. There was a motion and a second. It carried unanimously to forward this amendment to the council with the recommendation that it be approved as presented. That motion carried 5-0. County Council held their public hearing December 4th of 2007. Mr. Lank gave you the commission's report, read the letter from Mrs. Granke. We received an email from Brian Hall from the Office of State Planning Coordination.
Cost 2 months.
He had 7 recommendations. The council discussed the ordinance. Each of you had different concerns. There were 4 members of the public that were present that spoke in reference to the ordinance. 2 of them submitted their written comments. And on December 4th,
they always have some lots of them.
You deferred action and left the record open for public. Says to leave the public record open.
It's still open.
It's still open. The only additional comments we have received, I think, Dave's give each of you, we received Pratt Dyer's written comments from Kevin McBride from Morris & Ritchie Associates, engineering firm here in Georgetown.
Yeah.
Mr. Phillips asked for, in Brian Hall's email, he made reference to the ANCA 300 or 3,000 guidelines, and I think I provided each of you a copy of that. Go ahead, unless you have any questions.
I have a letter from Mr. John Austin from Rehoboth about it. You might have that, too.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
What's he saying?
He's concerned about how it's that it says we should more clearly define forested buffer strips and landscape buffer strips. The ordinance should clearly state that each is one and the same and not 2 different buffer strip types.
Shane, did P&Z discuss about, I think it came up the day we had our hearing about there's certain size, really small. Was there a cutoff size of a small subdivision? 30 foot would be almost the same in the center of it. I mean, was that discussed? We talked about not across the front, some of the nice ones they were doing. But did they discuss, like, is there a certain size, the 30 foot on each side would just basically kill the idea? Was that discussed? I know it was brought up here that day.
It was.
This would make it 30 foot around the entire perimeter.
That front backside.
Of any subdivision.
Right. So it'd be 60. I think Pop-Up Dukes had the problem with the 30 feet on each one and make 60 total feet.
Have a development side by side with a 60 foot buffer.
But like in the front.
Well, I like that.
I like the front.
I think it's fair. If one does it, the all out of should do it.
Oh, I agree with you there, George.
Then we have nice, then we'd cater to the people
front, but the front, like,
front instance, doesn't need it.
Down on 24, that's not needed. I mean, but you have some people got more hole of coppers than others, but I think
one. Well, you see that, you know what? We could do this. A forested buffer in the front is not required unless they have the rear of the houses.
Yeah.
No, you know how they put the back of the houses, and you're riding along looking at the back. So if they have the layout plan that they have the rear of the houses facing to the major roadway, then a 30-foot buffer would be required. If they face the houses, which they could do, to the major roadway, then there is not a required 30-foot.
I tend to disagree. I don't think that.
I don't like seeing the backs of the houses, Vance.
I'm not crazy about all the vinyl siding on the front of the houses either.
Unless you were a salesman for vinyl siding.
There you go.
Like Dale.
Bob Dukes loves it.
Dale likes vinyl siding. Certainty, I think.
I believe one person who testified made a good point that developers can sometimes construct a visual buffer from the highway without trees, and in those burns cases, they should, but there should be a mechanism to make an exemption. But my desire is to see the developments
not see it
exempted from the public view shed, and this is one way of doing it. But I think we've got to have the flexibility for a developer to do it with other mechanisms.
Wouldn't we have to spell out those other mechanisms, though, wouldn't we, Jim, too?
Unless site plan review could take that.
Well, I don't think that.
Can't trust that.
Unless you have some guidelines, it would be tough.
You just can't leave it open-ended. I don't mind seeing the fronts of houses as they ride down the highway. Some of them sitting back, they have nice lawns, and you know, whatever, and are very good-looking and attractive. It's the rear of the houses where people have a tendency to put the play sets, or, you know, their other accessory buildings and other stuff. And can
out there
and not be as attractive. So I think if we addressed it with how they face the house to the front of it.
Going into Melford there by Shawnee Country Club, every one of them houses are right next to the road. It's not even 5 feet, it don't look like. Swimming pools, fences right there next to
that. That's Melford Town Center. Guess what?
Well, I'm not. I don't know
what he's talking about.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I know what you're saying.
I don't think that's superior in design. I think what they've done is jammed in and got as many as they could, and people bought those because they were cheap. Those lots.
That's good. But it sounds like.
Well, I guess you know the thing is you know we've been this one's fine. Been sitting around for quite some time also.
You remember the first version of this didn't go this far. And you said go back to the drawing board and make it go all the way around every boundary except where there's a connector street or a stormwater outfall. And then when we came back with that, we put it on the agenda. And
could we add some wording, Jim, about just
Mr. Duke said it went too far.
Right. Well, let me just say this. Following up on what Vance just alluded to, can there be a wording that would be added that say at the front boundary that the Planning and Zoning Commission would have some kind of discretionary, flexibility there to give a variance from
approve
the 30
something
other than a 30 foot, right? Or say 30 foot or something that's acceptable to the Planning and Zoning Commission or something like that.
You could,
and that would just be in the front. That would give them the flexibility, Vance. Is that make sense?
Yeah, again,
and not mess with the whole ordinance and just try to get this one adopted?
When people complain in this county about development, it's often because they see that development from the front seat of their car. Anything we can do to buffer development from the driving public, I think, would go a long way toward improving the quality of life. So if that's the mechanism.
I mean, that gives you the flexibility. You said that there's various ways to do it. I wouldn't mind giving them the ability to show us some creativity. So if some wording could be placed in the front-facing part of this boundary, I could live with that. I like the idea that we have it all the way around. I think everybody should be treated equally. And I think it would.
Well, I think it should treat equal. Yeah, I don't know if you need 60 feet.
Well, that gives a nice. It gives a place for, like I said, we've been criticized for like open space. That is actually falls into the open space thing. There is already automatically open space that's going to be treated.
Would that be considered open space, Shane, according to our ordinance?
Well, we haven't got a definition yet. We just
definition of.
But with regards to the.
We don't even go there.
I know, but you define it as part of while we're doing
in superior design.
The answer Shane gave after a little more. Probing is yes, it would go toward the open space calculation.
On who maintains it? The homeowner association?
Oh, sure.
Or property owner? Property.
Well, it depends on how the lots are laid out. I guess it could be either way. I don't care.
HOA.
Okay.
It'd be better to have the lots not go into it and have HOA do it. But anyway, I'm.
Do they have to have the grass less than 12 inches tall in the buffer?
Unless it's ornamental.
Okay.
And get some goats.
So let's say, okay.
You're okay.
Jim, can you give us some wording that would give us some flexibility in the front? That would give planning and zoning the ability to give something that would be comparable.
Or give them, right, give them right some. Out. Spell it right out, rear of the houses in the front. That's not acceptable.
What's that?
Well, we spell it right out, what you're saying.
We could certainly come up with that. It's probably going to be something you just need to tell me what you want me to do and then
Burns,
put it back on.
Decorative fences.
In the front, 30 buffer. Feet, 30-foot buffer, berms.
I don't think you need a 30.
Trees. Trees.
What's the setback, Shane? On major artillery, is 40 feet?
40 feet.
So P&Z could kind of wave it in the front.
Setback.
Right, but we need to put something in it is what we're trying to say.
Yeah, but you just said 30 foot. I don't think it needs
P&Z
to be.
P&Z can wave the front buffer.
Only 30 would have to be of this. 10 feet could be, you know, just over grass.
11-inch tall grass.
Hey, under site plan review, and what George is saying, in the front, under site plan review, if the developer shows creativity or site plan, something superior in the front, that's when they could take it in front.
So you're talking about something such as berms, a combination of berms and landscaping, or
fences.
Landscaping.
Yeah, and that's what Pratt was saying.
Chicken eye.
Right.
No.
Sometimes you see a wall. Sometimes they put a nice brick wall.
To cross your neighbor.
This is in here enough, but in your public hearing, you also mentioned golf courses and large-scale amenity packages.
They were referring to Mr. Tunnel's over on Route 24, that's very attractive, and it doesn't
very
have forested buffer.
Very attractive.
But
anyway, is some wording that we can adopt this one and move on?
Another day.
Unless you got any problems now. You have any other problems?
Oh, another day, right?
I don't know. If don't give me crap, but I might
Pop-Pop
have a
Dukes has a problem. He should have been here.
I'm just trying to get it all solved out so if Jim can look at it and we can feed these things in, that we can keep moving on, okay?
If all you wanted me to come up with is something that would allow planning and zoning to approve something along the front boundary
other than
a forested buffer, if you take like a 10-minute recess, I could do that.
We'll take a 10. I make a motion we have a 10-minute recess.
Second.
Are you suggesting we're going to actually pass something today?
Well, I'll come
but
up with
we did one
language.
Already.
I'm not so sure that that's appropriate.
Oh, yeah. 2-2 again.
I mean, you can take a 10-minute.
We just didn't we do a recess?
So if the developer shows creativity
don't bother.